It's time for the truth. Will you join me in the study of the precious Word of God that we may come to know and come to grow in the Lord Jesus? Glad that you've joined us today for the study. We're going to begin once again in Joshua chapter 4. And so please open your Bibles to Joshua chapter 4 and prepare for the study today. While you're doing that, I'd like to share with you that this program is brought to you by the folks at Parkview Bible Church. We're located over in Hamilton, Illinois at 18th and Church Street. We're just one block north of the Dairy Queen, and I'm the pastor, Larry Mulch. If you'd like to write to us, our mailing address is Post Office Box 43, Hamilton, Illinois 62341. If you'd like to visit our website, you'll find us at www.parkviewbiblechurch.org. Now, I hope that was enough time now for you to be prepared for the study, and we can enjoy it today. And again, Joshua chapter 4, and we'll begin reading now with verse 1. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Take you 12 men out of the people, out of every tribe of man, and command ye them, saying, Take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. Then Joshua called the 12 men whom he had prepared of the children of Israel out of every tribe of man. And Joshua said unto them, Pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder, according unto the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, that this may be a sign among you, that when your children ask their fathers in time to come, saying, What mean ye by these stones? Then ye shall answer them that the waters of Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord, when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of Jordan were cut off. And these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, and carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and laid them down there. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua. And the people hastened and passed over. And it came to pass, when all the people were clean passed over, that the ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of the people. And the children of Reuben and of Gad and half of Manasseh passed over armed before the children of Israel, as Moses spake unto them. About 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses all the days of his life. And the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, Command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of Jordan. Joshua therefore commanded the priests, saying, Come ye up out of Jordan. And it came to pass, when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up upon the dry land, that the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place, and flowed over all its banks as they did before. And the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month, and encamped in Gilgal in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. And he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, When your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, What mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. For the Lord your God dried up the waters of Jordan from before you until ye were passed over as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Wonderful reading of that fourth chapter. Let's begin with prayer. Father, we thank and praise you today that we can enjoy this study. Just please show us your way and will and give us your leadership as we enjoy looking at these verses of Scripture. It is tremendous how you can deliver a people into a land. You can care for a people, whether it's a whole country or whether it's an individual. And we know, dear Lord, that you can care for us, and you can see what we need and know what we need. And Father, we just thank and praise you that you not only see and know, but you deliver. You're able to deliver us, and we know that we're a helpless people. We're born in our sin and dead in our trespasses, and yet you hand us life if we'll just accept you as our Savior. Oh, thank you, dear Lord, for all your gifts that you've given us. Thank you for salvation most of all. And I just ask today that all will listen. They will come to the cross of Calvary where you died for them, and they will trust in you today. Just grow every one of us as we study this precious word. And I pray this in Jesus' name. Amen. Oh, we've got many things to look at in this scripture as we looked at the fourth chapter here. We have, and you may have it in your Bible too, the title underneath chapter 4 says two memorials. And so we have not one, but two memorials that it's talking about here. And one is found to be at Gilgal, which is right across, right before the Jericho. It's across the Jordan River as they pass over. And then the second one is down in the center, right where the soles of the feet of the priests are standing. That's where we left them last time. They had come down into the midst of the Jordan River. It had come, as soon as they touched the edge of that river, even though it was flooding, there's water everywhere, and living as close to the Mississippi as we do, we're very familiar with flooding. Well, it was out of its banks. It was overflowing. As soon as they got to the edge of that water, the water walled up above, and it just drained out below, and instantly that ground was dry. It wasn't mud. It was dry, and they walked across on dry land. What a wonderful, wonderful gift God has given this nation of Israel, these 1.5 to 3 million, somewhere in that range of people that needed to get across that river into the promised land. And there was no way, if they would have taken boats across, any other means of coming over, the enemy would have just destroyed them as they were coming. But instead of that, they were all able to come literally at once across this Jordan River on dry ground, much the same way that they left Egypt when they went through the Red Sea. This time, we have the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord. It was not present. It was not built. It didn't exist when they came out of Egypt, but it does exist now. God gave them the plans at Sinai when they first arrived, and they built the Ark, they built the tabernacle, they received all this instruction, and now they have finally come to the place that they're getting ready to move into the land. And when the Scriptures several times in the 17th verse of chapter 3, it says, "And the priests that bear the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord stood firm on dry ground in the midst of the Jordan, and all the Israelites passed over on dry ground until all the people were passed clean over Jordan." They came, they not only, when they stepped the first step, hit the water, the soles of their feet hit that water, it dried up. They went down into it, they went down into the bottom of that river, and they stood there. And as they stood there, all the people passed over, and they stayed there until they were clean over Jordan, the scripture says. And then we find here, and it came to pass when all the people, this is verse 1 of chapter 4, were clean passed over Jordan, that the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, you take 12 men out of the people, out of every one, out of every tribe, and command ye them, saying, take you hence out of the midst of the Jordan, out of the place where the priest's feet stood firm, 12 stones, and ye shall carry them over with you, and leave them in the lodging place where ye shall lodge this night. And so Joshua did. Joshua called in verse 4. Joshua said unto them, pass over before the ark of the Lord your God into the midst of the Jordan, and take up you up every man of you a stone upon his shoulder. It wasn't a little tiny thing. It was a big stone. Put it up on your shoulder according as the number of the tribes of the children of Israel, which is 12, that this may be a sign among you. And when your children ask their fathers in the times to come, saying, what mean ye these stones? Ye shall say, ye shall answer, that the waters of the Jordan were cut off before the ark of the covenant of the Lord when it passed over Jordan, and the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be for a memorial unto the children of Israel forever. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, the 8th verse tells us. And so what a wonderful picture here. Now, I want you to think about this just a little bit as we look at this, because it's so important. We have a couple of things that we do in memory, in memorial of, and I think that you probably will recognize one, and that's the Lord's Supper. It's the most obvious, because in remembrance of me, when we read the Scripture and take the Lord's Supper, and so I'm sure that one was very obvious. But the another one that is really just as clear, and that's baptism. Because when you baptize scripturally, and I'm not talking sprinkling's a waste of time, but when I'm talking about baptizing scripturally, and that is that you literally go down into the water, and you're standing in that water, maybe perhaps waist deep, and as you're standing in that water, and then you lower down into the water, and then you come up out of the water. Well, it pictures, first of all, your life, the old life. You go down because we die with Christ. And so we go down into the watery grave, and we die with Christ, and we come back up out of that grave alive and victorious. And so we're raised with Christ. Not only die with Christ, but we're raised with Christ. That's the picture of baptism. But what that also is a picture of, and is a memory of, is the death, burial, and resurrection of Jesus Christ. And so, yes, the Lord's Supper brings us there, and so every time we do the Lord's Supper, we should remember back to the cross of Calvary, what Jesus did on the cross for you and for me. And each time that we witness a baptism, we should do the same, remember what Jesus Christ did on the cross of Calvary. Now, it says here that then ye shall answer, what mean ye by these stones, was the question. And that's a question that would be asked for generations. What do you mean by this pile of stones here? What's the meaning of this? And then us fathers should tell our children what that is God's deliverance into this promised land that we live in. God, back in tell the time when the nation of Israel was just coming into the land, and our people was on the other side of the Jordan, and God miraculously opened up the Jordan, and we walked through on dry ground into the promises and the blessings of God. What a wonderful day that was. And then those children, when you tell your children about these stones, then though those children, when they're raised up and they have children, they too, when they come by and see that pyramid of stones there, what does this mean? And then those children should tell their children, and on and on and on through every generation. Now today, we don't have a pyramid of stones to walk by to see. But what we do have is the Lord's Supper and baptism. And so every time we have the Lord's Supper, are you telling your children, you know what this is? This is a memorial. This is something to remember because Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Have you trusted in Jesus? God has delivered us from the enemy over into his promised land, and he did it by dividing the Jordan River. And God took away my sin, and he divided me from my sin the day that I trusted in Jesus as my Savior. And not only has he given me victory over sin and a joy of living, but he has also then handed me blessings and promises as a child of God that is not allowed, the world doesn't have, but a child of God possesses. Wonderful, wonderful daily blessings of peace and joy and strength and wisdom and knowledge that God gives us. So what a glorious day it is to know Jesus as our Savior. But what a wonderful day and a glorious day is to tell our children that message. So when you have the Lord's Supper, do you ever sit down with your children and say, now, today we're going to have, remember, it's the quarter, it's the first day of the week, or of the week, you know, and so we have it every Sunday, or we have it once a month, or we have it once a year, however often you have it, the Scripture says, how often it is, do you take time on your way to church? Now, today is going to be the Lord's Supper. Oh, what a wonderful time to remember. You know, Jesus died on the cross of Calvary. Jesus gives us life. Jesus hands us all this blessing. What a wonderful day to live knowing Jesus. What a testimony you could give. And the same would be equal with baptism, you see. Because when we look at the baptism, why then that baptism is the same. I mean, you say, now watch. Now we're going to have baptism today, or maybe you weren't aware of it. And so after church, you know, after the baptism is over, why you're going home or you're going to dinner, and you can say, do you understand what you just saw? You just witnessed a testimony of someone that got saved, that was born again, and so they want to testify outwardly. Baptism doesn't save. It's just a showing of what has happened in your heart. But it also is a memorial for us to remember what Jesus did for us some 2,000 years ago. And so we have a wonderful picture here, but don't miss that very special part here. What mean ye by these stones, that ye shall answer them that the waters of the Jordan were cut off from before the Ark of the Covenant of the Lord, and when it passed over Jordan, the waters of the Jordan were cut off, and these stones shall be a memorial for this dividing of the waters, and we come across on dry ground. Oh, our God is so powerful, and our God is so strong. We thank and praise our God for all he has given us. And then we come and go to the 8th verse here. And the children of Israel did so as Joshua commanded, and took up 12 stones out of the midst of the Jordan, as the Lord spake unto Joshua, according to the number of the tribes, which was 12. And they carried them over with them unto the place where they lodged, and they laid them down there, and that place is Gilgal. And Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan. Now you see, he had one man bringing forth, but here Joshua set up 12 stones in the midst of Jordan, in the place where the feet of the priests, stood, right where that Ark of the Covenant was located. They were right there, and Joshua took their 12 stones and stacked them up. So not only did we have the picture here of the memorial that is at Gilgal on the other side of the Jordan River, but we also here have the 12 stones stacked up, again, one representing every tribe. 12 stones stacked up in Gilgal on the other side of the Jordan that somebody can always witness and see. 12 stones gives the picture and the meaning that it covers all. You know, God is delivering all. And anyone that comes by faith to the Lord Jesus, all the people that passed through that Jordan was able to come over into the blessings of God. And if you come by faith to Jesus Christ, you also are allowed and have the opportunity to come over to the other side to receive the blessings and the praise of God and the joy of God and wisdom of God. What wonderful promises that God gives us and stands true to. And so, again, 12 stones were on one side for them to see, but 12 stones in the midst of the Jordan, verse 9, in the place where the feet of the priests which bear the Ark of the Covenant stood, and they are there unto this day. For the priests which bear the ark stood in the midst of the Jordan until everything was finished that the Lord commanded Joshua to speak unto the people, according to all that Moses commanded Joshua, and the people hastened and passed over. And so as they passed over, why we find that they, on their way through, they each one of these 12 men took one stone, put it all over at Gilgal on the other side. Joshua put 12 stones in the middle, right where the Ark of the Covenant is. Now, who's going to see that? Who's going to see that? You know, no one was able to, don't miss this picture, no one was able to look upon the death of the Lord Jesus Christ when he died on the cross. It was dark. It was so dark you couldn't see anything. And that's exactly the way Jesus took our sin upon him. And it was such a horrible, horrible dealing and sight that no one could look upon it. And Jesus died for you and for me. And all that is, you know, it's finished. But it happened. Jesus died on the cross. We can't see his dying. It was over 2,000 years ago. No one looked upon his death. And here, where the Ark of the Covenant was placed and stays there this very day, as it comes across, as the water now pours back over, and I believe those stones are probably still there today. God has protected those, and they're there as a testimony, as in the watery grave of Jesus' death, and also of where those priests stood to protect the people, to get them to the other side. You see, that's what we got to do. We've got to get to the other side. We've got to get from the side of sin and death to the side of life and victory in Jesus Christ. And that can only come by knowing Jesus as your Savior. So, you see, we've got two memorials here. One that stood at Gilgal on the other side from where they're standing now. The priests go down in, they stood down, they waited there until everybody passed over. But 12 individuals was chosen, one out of every tribe, to take one stone, put it upon his shoulders, and bear it all the way over and bring it and place it as a pyramid, something for them to see, somebody, a testimony, so that when you come through, you tell your children, this is what God did for us in delivering us into this land. And we need to do the same thing. You know, when we see the Lord's Supper, we see baptism, we need to say, you know, this is what God has done. This is a picture, this is a memorial of what God has done for me, that I know Jesus as my Savior, and you need to do the same. And so please understand those two beautiful pictures of baptism and the Lord's Supper. And here we have the one memorial that you see. The other one is in the watery grave of the Jordan River. And yet still, both of them are completely necessary and very important that it would be remembered of the death of the Lord Jesus. And then also the life and the victory is the one that's on the other side at Gilgal. And so they have all, and it came to pass, now in verse 11, when all the people were clean passed over, that the Ark of the Lord passed over, and the priests in the presence of all the people. Now we have Reuben, Manasseh, and half of Reuben, Gad, and half of Manasseh. If you'll remember, they decided to stay on the other side. But God said, you can stay over here, but you're going to have to come and fight the battles over here to give victory to all on this side. And so they did. They were obedient. They did exactly what they agreed to do. And it says in verse 13, about 40,000 prepared for war. So there was 40,000 of that men that were of that age that were coming to help with the victory here. And it says about 40,000 prepared for war passed over before the Lord unto battle to the plains of Jericho. On that day the Lord magnified Joshua in the sight of all Israel, and they feared him as they feared Moses in all the days of his life. And so this is probably one of the greatest feats now that they see without question, that what Joshua says will happen. And so they had to learn the same thing with Moses. When God spoke to Moses and Moses spoke to them, when it took come to pass, they realized that he is in that sweet connection and relationship with the Lord. And so what Moses says is what the Lord says. Hear what Joshua said. You know, this is what the Lord says. When Joshua would say that, they learned very quickly to listen and to be obedient. And so, and we find the result here. And then in verse 15, and the Lord spake unto Joshua, saying, command the priests that bear the ark of the testimony that they come up out of the Jordan. So see, after everybody's passed through, why, now it's time for this ark. They stood down in the depths of that Jordan with that water walled up on the one side, standing on dry ground, witnessing Joshua putting those 12 stones up, witnessing the 12 individuals, 12 men carrying and taking those to the other side. And so, and it come, you come up out of the Jordan, Joshua commanded, and it came to pass when the priests that bear the ark of the covenant of the Lord were come up out of the midst of the Jordan, and the soles of the priests' feet were lifted up unto dry land, and the waters of the Jordan returned unto their place and flowed over all his banks as they did before. Oh, you see that? I mean, this isn't just a little puddle that they crossed through here. This is a mighty river, and it was out of its banks in the flood time, and it didn't matter. God can do anything. And so we find here in verse 19, and the people came up out of the Jordan on the 10th day of the first month and encamped in Gilgal, in the east border of Jericho. And those 12 stones which they took out of Jordan did Joshua pitch in Gilgal. Verse 21, and he spake unto the children of Israel, saying, when your children shall ask their fathers in times to come, saying, what mean these stones? Then ye shall let your children know, saying, Israel came over this Jordan on dry land. And the Lord your God dried up the waters of the Jordan from before you until ye were passed over, as the Lord your God did to the Red Sea. Again, see, we got the connection there. Both of them were a deliverance of the Lord, which he dried up from before us until we were gone over, that all the people of the earth might know the hand of the Lord, that it is mighty, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. You know, that last word, what is the purpose of showing God's power and God's strength? And it's here, and it's very clear that all the people on the earth might know the hand of the Lord, might experience the power and the strength of the Lord, might see that it is mighty. The hand of the Lord is mightier than all, that ye might fear the Lord your God forever. Now, we have already read concerning the condition of the people in Jericho and the surrounding area. Those people in the land of Canaan feared God because they had witnessed, they had heard how that the plagues in Egypt, how he delivered them across the Red Sea, how that they stopped at Sinai, how they received the law and the tabernacle, how that they had come upon enemy after enemy, and God, with his literal instructions, had destroyed them. No one was able to stand, and the people of Canaan knew that. We know that it was very it was so clear, and fear was upon those people. We need to fear God today in this land. That's part of our problem today, is that our land, we're facing such a terrible financial time right now. It's a result of this land becoming so ungodly. We have got to be right with all the people, and politically correct is the word. We don't need to be politically correct. We need to know our God and trust Him and follow Him. That's the only way to have a joy and a peace. And many Christians are having to go down through this difficult time because the lost people of this world, of this land that we live in, this country, this wonderful country we live in, has turned away from God. Many times churches and people that are called so-called Christians have also turned away from God. My dear friend, we need to trust in Jesus. What are you going to do about Jesus?